Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Right, let's have a natter with exercise physiologist from Liverpool, John Moores University, George Wilson. Weren't you, Georgie?
Born again, Steve. Yeah, good.
We spoke a couple of weeks ago about the Grand National. Obviously, you've been involved in preparing a few jockeys, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
And we spoke about Tiger Roll at the time.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Because your man had ridden him.
Yeah, I looked after the jockey who won on him at Cheltenham, a guy called Keith Donoghue, who had some weight issues, and Keith been preparing the horse over in Ireland. He works for Gordon Elliott. Unfortunately, Keith doesn't ride at Aintree. His usual rider, Davy Russell, rode it, and we tipped it up on the show. Well, it was favourite, but come on, it absolutely hurt.
Everyone tipped it up, George.
We were in early. It was 5-1 when I mentioned it.
Do you think 4 or 5-1 actually puts people off? Because they I'm not going to have much of a return on this.
I think it does, because I think people still have the race in their mindset as tough as it was many years ago. Now, the fences have been modified, and I suppose though it would be an argument that it's been made it slightly easier. So the more classy horses do win. But still, it's a hell of a test, 4.5 mile over them fences, isn't it?
Which jockeys did you see before the race, in terms of looking after or offering some?
Well, I have an association with Leighton Aspinall and also Tom Scudamore.
How did they do?
Ongoing, I think Tom got round. I don't know about Leighton. I can't remember. I'm trying to think who got round. Well, the Irish
one. My mate Dave Downey got round. He didn't win anything.
A lot of horses did get round. I'm trying to think, but I just think, again, as I said, Steve, it's a fantastic spectacle. But the whole sort of knock-on for the local economy, including like the university and that, because of the sponsors around Docks and that, I mean, it's really is such a boost for the local economy. And I mean, and I was out Friday, Saturday, and in another capacity because I do a bit
gigging.
I do a bit of entertainment, but the city was on fire. It was unbelievable.
It does bring revenue in, doesn't it?
It's brilliant, and I think all the lads and lasses looked fantastic. So listen, I think everyone had a great time.
Myself and Dave might not remember this because he was in a bit of a blurred champagne state at the time, but we had a conversation about the sponsors, and we were saying we could entirely understand it when John Smith's was the sponsor, because people would say, let's have a bite of John Smith's. But perhaps the public don't fully understand the Randox Health connection, or how it can work for Randox Health. Yeah. So you obviously know that.
Yeah, I know them quite well.
In the business. So tell us what that connection is and why it can work for Randox Health.
Well, Randox are basically, they perform health screening. They do thousands of tests on a single blood sample. So you give them a single. We've got one in Liverpool. You give a sample in, and they test for everything: kidney, renal function, you know, muscle damage, heart damage.
Off one blood test.
Yeah. They have thousands of assays, what are called assays, which test different things. So you can get your cholesterol tested, and they do a full like a well man or a well woman test, and you know, they're at the forefront of providing you know, trying to improve people's health. So there is, from my point of view, it's obviously of great interest because we do a lot of research in this area. But they've been very good to John Moores University, and we have a 5-year collaboration deal with them, and so we'll do the next 2 years with them.
So would enough people, after seeing it sponsor the Grand National, say, I'm going to get a health check?
I think it's more about perception, isn't it? I mean, you know, all big brands want to have their name at top sporting events, don't they? And obviously we're past the days of cigarettes and alcohol being at the forefront of that, and rightly so, which is,
that's,
you know,
a great sponsor,
yeah, it is a great
it?
Sponsor.
I just wonder whether enough people feed off that message that they're putting out.
I couldn't really
there.
See John Moores getting, you know, joining up with John Smith's, could you? we're promoting health, and, you know, we don't want to be associated with alcohol.
But no, it is a university, George. Plenty of students being checked.
Well, the thing was, on Friday it was empty because I think every one of our students was at the races.
Really?
Randolph gave away that many tickets. I think it was just full of John Moores.
But isn't that brilliant though? Because we have a lot of students who are not from Liverpool as well. So experience.
Well, I'd done a lecture in the morning about all my jockey research, and I was telling the students, and a lot of them were going off to the races, and they were all asking for tips. But the fact is that it completes the circle. So they all went to a lecture in the morning about Randox and about our health, and then they all went to races.
You can imagine all the students getting up in the morning going, oh, I can't wait for George's lecture today. Going to get some tips for races.
I'm not sure they'd be taking up on the blood test later on in the day.
They got tips, and they actually tipped up a few winners for them. So, you know, I don't know, okay?
We
don't
Fantastic. Know. So the winning jockey... I
don't know Davy Russell. I've met Davy, but the jockey who rode Tiger All at Cheltenham, Keith Donoghue, I know Keith really well,
Right, well, Davy, and I don't know Davy, I don't know if this is the wrong thing to say, but he doesn't look young, does he?
No, Dave's about 40. I'd say he's about 40 now. Yeah, he's been around. He's been around.
Been around the course.
But
a few
did you
times.
Hear? Did you hear the great things he said about Liverpool?
Oh,
it was after the race. He said it. There's no place like it. The people are fantastic. The event, the organisers. It was as if we'd sponsored. You know, we'd paid him to say such good things about our city. And I was actually, honestly, I swear, I was welling up. I was thinking, he couldn't have said anything better.
Right,
which is crazy.
We're going to get on to old rockers in a moment because we'll talk Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
But you're a rocker, a middle-aged rocker.
You
were performing where after the race?
I was in the Sir Thomas Hotel, which is owned by a friend of mine, Julian Flanagan.
Right.
Flanagan's are well-known in Liverpool for the company.
What did you open it up with?
Stuck in the Middle with You.
Oh,
you got to get him going, haven't you?
Finished with what?
I think we always finish with Hey Jude. Always. You can't go wrong, can you?
The classics.
Right, guys?
That's exactly right.
Classics, the classics.
So people are coming to our city. You want to hear the classics.
Well, I really did big Liverpool up. You'll be pleased to know.
Let's talk about old rockers. Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
So Mick had to postpone his tour, didn't
he?
Because
he
had a health scare.
Yeah, Mick had a heart valve replaced. So there's four valves in the heart. Tricuspid valve, mitral valve.
Don't get too technical.
Aortic and pulmonary valve. And I don't know which one he had replaced, but I mean, he has been around a lot of years, and that's fair play to him. I mean, he's still kicking out the rock, isn't he? But he had an operation. So cross fingers, you know, we'll carry on. Because I mean, everyone loves the Stones, don't
you? So you can have a heart operation and still basically get back to the old Mick Jagger and still do
you
that.
Have a condition called stenosis, which is where a valve gets faulty and diseased, and they just replace them. It's like you replace a valve in an engine, really.
Mm.
And their hearts keep pumping and working okay.
Good luck to him when he gets back on. The tour dates haven't been.
No, they postponed their tour and they're going to reschedule. Yeah.
Right, I'm going to pick up on the Oxford-Cambridge boat race, first of all.
Bracknell,
James Cracknell.
Oh, Cracknell. I call him Bracknell, I'm getting mixed up with your fella, Cracknell,
Did he become the oldest man to win it? But he said, I'm not... He said afterwards, I'm not old. But he was part of the Cambridge crew that won yesterday. And we were talking before about... Is this arguably one of the toughest endurance
it's just so exhaustive. I mean, you know, the thing about Cracknell, James Cracknell, he got knocked off on his bike when he was in America, didn't he? He got injured doing this sponsored thing, and
his head wasn't it?
Yeah, he had an injury, and then always come back, and it just shows 46. But funny enough, Steve, as you get older, you become more endurance based because your fast twitch fibers become more aerobic.
What does this mean?
What that means is that's why your best marathon runners in the world tend to be like 35 plus. They always tend to be older because you become more aerobic as you get older.
It means you should be doing this with doing handstands.
Is that your body then, or your mentality?
Yeah, no, your body. Yeah. Actually, there's a physiological change. But that's fantastic that he's done that. And if you remember back to Steve Redgrave, who was obviously Olympic athlete, when he packed in because his heart was so conditioned, he had to. His wife's a doctor, and he had to detrain slowly. So because he's got this fantastic heart muscle, so rather than just stopping, you can't just stop. Because it could actually cause problems. Or that was the idea. Well, I mean, you've got this fantastic engine, this machine working perfect, pumping all this blood around, and it's used to this exhaustive exercise every day, and all of a sudden you stop. Then like any muscle, if you stop using it, you know, it's at that intensity.
So you have to detrain if you're an elite athlete.
Yeah. There's actually some research into this, particularly your left ventricle, because your left ventricle gets so huge, and actually that's what kicks all the oxygenated blood around the body. So if that just becomes like a floppy muscle, you don't want that. You want it to actually stay conditioned. So not the same intensity, but you have to keep ticking over.
So are you saying at the age of 46, he could arguably be a better athlete than when he was 36?
Well, he could be a better aerobic athlete, yeah, because you do get that physiological change. But I don't think age of that, for endurance sports like that, age is certainly not a barrier. Maybe when he's like 55, 60. But between like 30 and 40, we tend to see a lot of world-class marathon runners and endurance athletes at that age.
You see, I've been on the rowing machine at the gym and I don't like it.
No,
George,
I don't.
In all honesty.
I don't.
It must be the worst piece of equipment going,
wasn't it? It's boring as well in the gym, isn't it? You're on a river.
Oh, here you go again. Go running outside.
Yeah, get outside.
Get on the sands. Right, I picked up another few stories from the papers. Have you seen anything yourself?
On a serious note, I think... a lot of the headlines were all adverse about Aintree because what with the horses. But I'll just summarise by saying I worked in racing, and people might say I'm biased for that reason and because I have got a vested interest in the racing industry. But I can promise you, you will not get more passionate people about the welfare of horses than the people who actually look after the horses. You know, if you're talking about Aintree, then you have to look at flat racing because horses get injured on the flat. Mm-hmm. So you'd end up saying, well, are we going to stop flat racing? You know, horses get injured, and the unfortunate thing is when they do get injured, you can't put them in a cast and have them standing still because they have to keep moving, their physiology. So unfortunately, that's the reason that you can't sort of rehab them in that sense.
It's devastating.
It's devastating, and nobody wants it. You know, it's,
well, it should be reported because it is part of what's
and
going
I fully,
on.
I know, we're all animal lovers. I fully get it, and you know, I'm not saying any shape or form playing it down because you want zero injuries, but unfortunately, in sport, athletes get injured, and that's just
first time in 7 years.
It is, yeah.
The national race itself.
Yeah. Is that over those fences?
Yeah. They've actually done so much to modify the race and look after the welfare. But again, I go back to the point, you know, in flat horse racing, horses get injured, and the same thing happens. So, what you do? What's the answer?
Born to move, like you say, they're born to run.
Well, you've got to keep them moving. And that's why you can't just put them in a cast and have them standing still. Mm. They get like pneumonia and things. But anyway, I think on the whole, I think it's all been positive, and it was fantastic. Would you agree, guys? I mean, you were there.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I think the weather obviously helps, doesn't it? So Thursday was a bit of a washout. Yeah, by Saturday, it was sweltering summer temperatures.
Just gradually got better, didn't it? We were dry at least, weren't we? Although a little bit, I wasn't dry.
Dave wasn't doing dry Friday. I guarantee you that one.
So, Dave, did you win in the end?
No, absolutely not. I've seen
Steve early. Was the man who picked the winner, wasn't he? And he got a forecast ahead.
Well, he got a forecast sponsored by me.
The Blue Room EFC.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah, it was. And then he vowed to pay for the Chinese and then went home before we went for the Chinese. You know. Always made dinner.
The train to and from Aintree is always one of the biggest
things
of the day.
The train coming to and from Aintree on the way home should be live on television. It's the funniest,
people
most entertaining show on the planet. Everyone gets involved, don't they?
You've got an idea there, haven't you? Merseyrail could just do a stream, couldn't they?
They could make a fortune. Get Randox to sponsor it. Well, they do sit.
Mind you, some of that stuff, you might have to put it in delay.
Yeah.
Let's just pick up on a couple of other stories. Yeah. This is more serious or not, I don't know. This is on the front of the Echo today. Comedian John Bishop sold his Cheshire home for £7 million to make way for the new HS2 high-speed rail link. I don't know whether he's been sort of forced into this situation. He bought it for £2.25 million. So he's selling it for £5 million profit. But it seems like he's been pushed to the point where he has to sell it so they can build this rail line.
Well, it's compulsory purchase, isn't it? But I mean, it's nice when you're getting compulsory purchase and you make £2 million or whatever. In fact, did he want to take it through where I live, one here for me, and put it through my back garden?
Massive detour, take the scenic route.
Come on, HS2 up to for me, come on.
A few people volunteering to have a train through their back garden for the profit. And let's finish on this, I say, happier story. It's an animal one as well. This is in the Mirror today. And this is Louis the Spaniel. And he was feeling unwell. And when the owner, Rebecca Miles, took him to the vet, they found he had 5 golf balls in his stomach. So here's Louis, and there's the 5 golf balls that he's managed to swallow whole. Dogs will eat anything.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's similar with humans, you know.
Could we survive with 5 golf balls in our gut?
It's amazing. There's a condition called pica, isn't it, where people eat inedible objects. And particularly, if it's being serious, like autistic children. My own daughter's autistic, and she has the condition. So we have to be really careful. But it's amazing what you can actually survive with in your stomach. I remember speaking to a surgeon about it, and he said that you can live your life totally no problem with all kinds of sort of, you know, undigestible stuff in your stomach, and you never have a problem. What happens is, the problem is if it actually moves into the bowel, and that's when your problems start. But obviously, he's okay, the dog, now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's absolutely fine.
And what about the golf balls? Are they going
to... Well, I think we should rehome these in Dave Downey's golf bag.
It wouldn't last long.
I always remember when our eldest daughter was about 3 years old and she swallowed a 20p piece.
Oh, right.
And we all went into meltdown. But actually, the reality was like, when we got to the hospital, they went, whatever, there it is on the scan. Yeah. Just wait till she
comes out,
poops it out.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And everything was fine.
But it still concerns, doesn't it? Yeah.
That dog will find it can eat a lot more now, though.
Yeah,
space.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Georgie, anything else you wanted to mention?
No, again. Because Dave's here, I, as an Evertonian as well, I thought we were unbelievable yesterday. Why can't we do that every single game?
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because you're Everton.
Listen to this.
I'm not coming on the show.
Oh, that's only because you two are going
off. We're in that Porto top spot.